Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our study of the situation of Palestine during the time of Jesus. As a preparation for studying the life, mission, teaching of Jesus Christ, in order to understand the person and his message, we have to situate that person in the socio-political, religious and economic context of the society in which he lived. We have been investigating the political situation of Palestine during the time of Jesus. And we have seen that Palestine was a Roman colony, a land occupied by the imperial power of Rome. Till BC 4, Herod the Great had ruled Palestine as king with the blessing and permission of the Roman emperor. After the death of Herod the Great, the territory was divided into three among three of his children. Archelaus got the territory of the southern part, including Samaria, Judea, and Idumea. Northern section, especially Galilee and Perea, was given to another son, Antipas, and Philip got the rest of the kingdom of his father. And we saw that Archelaus was deported due to his cruelty and insensitive violence to the people. He was deported to Gaul, and the territory under his jurisdiction was given over to a procurator. Rome ruled directly in Samaria, Judea, and Idumea. From AD 6 to 66, 13 procurators governed Palestine. During the time of Jesus, especially his public life, the procurator was Pontius Pilate. It is Pontius Pilate who condemned Jesus to death. In fact, it's an article of faith in the Apostles' Creed that Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate is Pilate or Pilatus from the province of Pontus. Who was this procurator? Since he had so much to do with Jesus, and especially the last days of Jesus and his death, it's good to ask the question, who was this Pilate? What kind of a man was he? If we read only the accounts of the four Gospels, we get the impression that Pilate was a weakling, that he was manipulated by the religious leaders of Judaism, that in order to please the leaders, and because he was afraid of the crowd, he handed Jesus over to be crucified, or handed Jesus over to them, to their will. But if you read the contemporary documents concerning this person, Pilate, we get a slightly different picture. For example, Philo of Alexandria, a Jewish philosopher of the first half of the first century AD, considers Pilate as a man of unbending nature, hard and inflexible disposition, harsh and brutal, irresponsible in handling official duties. And this is corroborated by certain facts reported by the Jewish historian Flavius Josephus. We have already seen him more than once in these talks. Flavius Josephus, the Jewish general who turned a friend of Romans and predicted the crowning of Vespasian as the emperor of Rome, and then adopted the name Flavius to honor the emperor, the Flavian family, and then became a historian in Rome, writing the antiquities of Jews, as well as writing an extensive report, A History of the Jewish War. Flavius Josephus presents a picture of Pilate, quoting several incidents that would reveal the character depicted by Philo. The very first act of Pilate mentioned by Josephus is this. When Pilate was appointed as procurator of Palestine in AD 26, he allowed the soldiers, Roman soldiers, to carry their standards with the Roman emperor's emblem on it, to enter the city of Jerusalem with these emblems by night, so that the people would not see what the soldiers were carrying. In fact, Rome had given a privilege to the Jews that no emblems, no pictures, no statues would be brought by the soldiers into the city of Jerusalem. But Pilate, in order to provoke the Jews and to show who was the master of the country, made the Roman soldiers to carry these standards. But early morning, there was an uproar in the city when the people noticed that the emblems of the emperor was present, was carried into the town. A delegation of Jewish leaders immediately went to Caesarea Maritima, where Pilate had his headquarters. There, they stayed for 5 days, pleading, entreating Pilate to remove the emblems, but Pilate was adamant. Finally, he threatened all the Jews with death, at which the Jewish leaders laid bare their necks and asked the soldiers to cut their throats. They were ready to die rather than allow the emblems and statues be brought into the town. Finally, Pilate succumbed. But that was only the beginning. There had been various incidents of violence which the historian reports about Pilate. Pilate wanted to build an aqueduct to bring water into the city of Jerusalem. There is always a shortage of water in Jerusalem. So from the nearby hills, he wanted to bring water to Jerusalem, and to finance this project of building aqueduct, he took the money from the temple treasury. Pilate knew that the treasury was rich. The Jews had contributed heavy amounts to the temple, and this amount was taken from the treasury by force in order to finance the construction of the aqueduct. Even though this was done in good faith as a help to the city, the Jews did not appreciate it. There was a great violence following this act of Pilate, and the revolt was violently put down, killing hundreds of people. Maybe a reminiscence of that could be found in one of Jesus' words. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verse 1, we read, "There were some present at that very time who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices." It could be a reprisal by Pilate about against this uprising, this revolt in town. Or it could be also some other act of violence which was very common in Jerusalem. During the major festivals of Passover, Pentecost, or Feast of the Tabernacles, people would come from all over the world, and there would be some hotheads among them who thought of fighting the Romans and throwing them out of the country. And this would inevitably end up in a clash with the Roman soldiers when maybe tens or hundreds of Jews would be killed by sword or even crucifixion. So that was Pilate. One more incident Josephus reports about Pilate. That concerns the Samaritans. Sometime towards the end of his rule, 35-36 AD, there came a Samaritan prophet who claimed to be a prophet, like Moses, who promised that he would discover the holy vessels hidden by Moses on Mount Gerizim. After discovering these vessels, they would offer a sacrifice which will lead to the liberation of the entire land from foreign domination. So it seems hundreds or thousands of Samaritans or people gathered on Mount Gerizim. And Pilate, hearing about the possible sedition or revolt, sent his soldiers and many people were killed. The violence was such that the Roman legate of Syria sent a report to the emperor Vespasian, to the emperor Tiberius, and Tiberius called Pilate to account. And then he was found guilty and he was deported to Gaul. So this was Pilate from AD 26 to 36. Pilate was not a weakling. He did not respect the sensibility of the Jews. And he was not afraid of anybody. As Philo says, he was of an inflexible, obdurate nature. Now, how did the people respond to the Roman rule? Before we answer this question, we have to keep in mind certain facts that history tells us. The Jews, as a whole, were not always free. Except for a few hundreds of years, they were under foreign dominion. First, they were slaves in Egypt. When they came to Palestine, they did not have a country or nation of their own, always threatened by the Canaanites, by the Philistines, and many other invaders. And then finally came David, and the Davidic dynasty lasted about 400 years. And that is the only time, so to say, when the Jews were really independent. Even then, they had the troubles. They had their civil wars. The people were divided as north and south. And then they had the constant invasion and threat of invasion by foreign powers. And finally, in 587, Babylon took Palestine over. Jerusalem was destroyed. The Jews were deported. The king died in exile. And ever since, they did not have a king of their own, till the time of the Maccabees. So first there was the captivity in Babylon, then there came the Persian rule, then came the Greek rule under the Ptolemies or the Seleucids, the Syrian rule. So finally in 63 came the Romans. So foreign invasion, foreign rule was not something new to the Israelis. And Roman rule as a whole was not exceptionally burdensome or cruel as far as the Jews were concerned. In fact, the Romans were much better than many of the overlords before them. The Romans had given many privileges to the Israelites. For example, in Palestine, there was no Roman legion stationed as in other occupied parts of the empire. The legions were stationed in Syria and Egypt, not in Palestine. In Palestine, they had only one cohort. It's about 1,000-man unit stationed in the fortress Antonia. Otherwise, there was only small detachments of centuria or small groups of soldiers to keep law and order. Israelites were exempted from military service, not only in Palestine, but all over the empire. all the occupied countries and nations had to render military service to the Romans. But Jews were not forced to military service for two reasons. Romans respected the religious laws and regulations of the Israelis, the Sabbath observance, and the dietary laws, and the laws concerning idols and idol worship. These were all obstacles in the life of a soldier. So the Romans would rather leave them free than force them to military service. They were exempted from military services. The Jews were exempted from Roman worship. The Roman gods were not obligatorily worshipped by the Israelis. Even when emperor worship was made a law all over the empire, the Jews were exempted from such a law. Even the Christians were obliged to worship, either worship the emperor or face persecution, but the Jews were exempted. In Jerusalem, the Roman cohort was present, but they did not carry the emblems. They did not carry the eagle or the statue or anything of that sort that were forbidden by the Jewish law. The Romans did not interfere in the civil life of the Jews. Of course, the Romans wanted law and order be kept, that people remain peaceful and obedient and paying taxes. But the day-to-day running of the country, the civil administration, was left over to the Jewish leaders, religious leaders, the Sanhedrin. We'll see it more in detail later when we speak about the religious situation of Palestine. Romans respected the religion and religiosity of the Jews. In fact, a daily sacrifice of a bull and two lambs were offered in the Jerusalem temple for the emperor and the empire, and the expenses were met by the emperor himself. So, religion supported by the Roman Empire. Above and beyond all this, the Jews had their privileges and their advantages of being part of the great empire. We know the Roman Empire extended to most of the then known Western world, from Euphrates on the east to Atlantic on the west, from Britain in the north to Egypt in the south. This great territory was ruled by the Romans, and the Jews could travel wherever they wanted. They could settle down wherever they wanted, and they could do the business wherever they wanted. In fact, during the New Testament period, the first century AD, the Roman population amounted to 100 million people of the empire, of which almost 10% were Jews, 10 million Jews. And 1 million Jews were settled in Egypt. So the Jews could handle their trade and acquire their money. So there were so many advantages of the Roman Empire. So against this background, we should see how the Jews reacted to the Roman rule. That we'll see in the next episode. Now let us close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, you came into this world as one among us, a human being, and lived in a particular historical situation under the Roman rule. You came as a citizen of an occupied land, a land occupied by foreigners of a mighty empire, and you died as a criminal, judged, condemned by that empire. Enable us to understand your love and your identification with each and every one of us. We thank you for coming to us. We thank you for coming as our Redeemer, as our Liberator. Amen.